Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 447, The Word and the Spirit. Lead Pastor Harley Kulterman delivered this message on Sunday, November 30th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome everybody, online, offline, inside and outside. So sometimes people ask why we don't cancel services. Well, it's kind of like this, you know, Walmart was open this morning to do your Black Sunday shopping. So shouldn't the House of Healing, my Father's House of Healing, be open for business this morning? Yes. Yeah, So we choose not to cancel services, and, you know, we don't want anybody to be unsafe, feel unsafe, or do things that are unsafe. So if you feel unsafe and don't want to drive, it's okay. We're not condemning you for that, but we are welcoming you to come every time that you can come. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to share with you a message this morning called The Word and the Spirit. So it really, really fits with what Tanya shared just a little bit ago and with Trisha's testimony. But my pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall, in his book, Miracles Don't Just Happen, made this statement. He said, there are literally millions of Americans who are normal church members, yet know nothing of the supernatural manifestation of God in their lives. My last assignment on the face of this earth is to give witness to the supernatural experiences in my life. Every new generation of believers must learn again that God, the God we serve, is a God of miracles. Lester Sumrall, miracles don't just happen. So, in the simplest sense, a miracle is God acting in a way that's beyond human understanding. It is the suspension of what mankind considers to be natural laws. There are many who believe that miracles are simply a matter of good luck. Even those who acknowledge God often see him as whimsical, as maybe he will or maybe he won't grant a great miracle. But often very little thought is given to preparation to receive a miracle. Our human nature kicks in, and when it does, it's simply to want the magic to happen. But God's healing power is not magic. It's a divine gift, and it's a gift that's available to everybody who will receive and who will open their heart to the things of his kingdom. His word says that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to us. But oftentimes we fail to seek first the kingdom of God. So proud of Trish to say that she's going to go to God first and doctor second. There's an example in the Bible about that. It says King Asa got sick in his feet, and though he was a godly man in previous activities in his kingship and his reign, it says that he sought the doctors instead of God. So we have nothing against doctors, against medicine, against hospitals and people who help people to deal with their medical issues. But never forget the great physician, the one who went to the cross to purchase your, not just forgiveness, but your healing as well. And it's amazing, you know, to think that as believers, many people don't even know that they have that option. They just automatically rely on the system. And the system is broken, as you can read in the papers every day. I mean, the big government shutdown was basically over medical benefits and things like that. So it's on people's hearts and it's on their minds, and there's concerns and there are worries and there's differences of opinion about how that should be handled. But the reality is that the God that created you knows how to keep you well, how to heal you, how to release his healing power in you, and to make a way for you to receive what he's already provided for you. Praise the Lord for that. So back to the thought about making preparation to receive a miracle. The story of the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt involves multiple miracles at the hand of God. I was thinking about that this week as I was preparing for these messages, but you just have to realize that all those miracles of them being delivered from Egypt weren't by accident. And I was thinking it all started with baby Moses being put in a basket and floating in the Nile River. But then I thought about it again this morning, and there's actually a scripture that shows that it even was predated by a long time when God spoke to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 12, it says that Abraham was having an encounter with God. This is a time when God is making covenant with him. It says in verse 12 that now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, a horror and a great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abraham, so this is like you getting to look into Abraham's vision. Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also a nation whom they serve I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. So God told Abraham long before he even had any children that he would have descendants, that those descendants would be in a position of slavery for 400 years, but that God would deliver them at the end of that and set them free, and they'd come out with great possessions. So this miracle was in the works long before Moses was ever born, or Moses' parents were born, or even thought about putting him in a little basket in the river. He was put in that basket because the Egyptian rulers had ordered that all the Hebrew children, male children, would be killed. And his mother, Jochebed, she wanted to preserve his life because she saw that he was a special child. She saw the mark of God on his life. And so she put him in that river and then put her daughter, Miriam, to watch the basket. And, you know, the first miracle was when the princess of Egypt came to bathe, I suppose, in the river. She found the basket and fell in love with the baby and preserved his life. And so for the next 40 years, he lived in the palace. And then, of course, some things went wrong for him when he tried to defend his people, and he ended up going 40 years into the wilderness. And then he had an encounter with God at the burning bush, another miracle. The bush that was a blaze that never was consumed, that caught his attention, and God began to speak to him out of that bush that he should go and deliver his people. So that began the march back towards Egypt and the last 40 years of Moses' life of bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt with miracles, signs, and wonders, and all of the great plagues that happened, culminating in the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Amazing miracle working power of God all through that story that was really put in place centuries before. That's the kind of God we serve. So if you think that you're facing the unknown, just remember that God who created you knows everything about you, knows everything that you're going through, knows everything that's planned for you, knows what your destiny is, and he has determined that he will take care of you, that he will bless you, and that he will bring you out of any kind of bondage, he will bring you out of any kind of slavery and any kind of situation with his miracle working hand, and that he will put you in a place to be a blessing to others that are all around you. So these miracles just didn't happen by accident. And as as the life of Moses played out, he had to walk by faith, and he had to learn things, and he had to grow in things, which is really a picture of how our lives are, because we obviously don't know everything, and we have to process everything that's around us and sometimes deal with struggles and situations. But the reality is that there's an enemy out there, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have to remember that Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it abundantly. And when we're on the Jesus side, we have an arsenal of weapons, the weapons of our warfare, which are not of the flesh, but that are mighty through God to demolish strongholds. So with those weapons, we begin to assail the enemy and begin to take him down, because by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name, we have victory. The Bible says that believers are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. So part of the preparation for receiving your healing or receiving the miracle of God has to do with the Word of God and with your testimony. So, Trish, your testimony today is standing, and it's a mark against the enemy to say, just keep your hands off of me, because Jesus is Lord, and my body belongs to Him. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you can have victory and keep your victory because of the blood of Jesus and because of the power of Jesus' name. So every one of us has to think about our own cases. So in preparation for receiving miracles from God or healings from God or anything from God, we have to think about maybe having some goals. So I just want to pose two questions for you this morning with regard to healing. Which would you rather have? Number one, get sick and then get healed every time you get sick? Or number two, live in divine health and never get sick? Which would you? Everybody's voting for number two. Well, so if we want to be at number two, that means that we need to have it as a goal, and we need to make some preparations for living that kind of a lifestyle. So it all starts really with the Word of God, which is the key to everything. At my Father's house of healing, we aim to prepare you to receive the mighty miracles from God. Part of our job as a ministry is to not just build you up, but to equip you for the work of the ministry as well. And in doing that, we want to position you to operate in the miracles of God. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, or some versions say what you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So there it puts a high value on the Word of God and on staying in relationship with Jesus, just keeping your relationship strong with Him. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The word abide, we don't probably use so much anymore. It's kind of an old English word, but we could say something like this. If you take up residence in me and my word take up residence in you, you will ask what you will or what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I noticed there that it's not a kind of a maybe or if, whatever. It's an imperative. It shall be done for you. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. That's pretty positive. I mean, that's better than Visa, MasterCard, Medicare, Medicaid, and anything else the world system has to provide to you. This is a promise of God to you that if you will abide in Jesus, if you will take up residence in Jesus and let His words take up residence in you, then you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done. Now, sometimes people say, well, what if I ask for something wild, you know, like, and they'll name something. I guess, you know, God put a head on your shoulders for a reason. One of them is to do things that are reasonable. But the second thing is you should be thinking about what is the will of God for my life? And the will of God for your life is all bound up in that first part, or the second part, where it says, my words abide in you. Because his word has really the outline for how we should live our lives and how we should actually achieve abiding in him or taking up residence in him. So I would submit to you that if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, and you know that you're saved by grace through faith, and you know that it's a gift of God that you've received, that out of just gratefulness, you would be smart enough to watch what you ask from God, that it should line up with his desires for you, his plan, and his purpose for your life. Then he would have, if something is within the will of God, he would have no problem in giving you what you asked, because he's already willed it to happen. And that's why we have the Word of God, because we can know what his will is for our lives. We can be certain of things, of how he thinks and how he acts and how he talks. I know the Word says that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but it never does say that we can't live and adopt his ways, nor does it say that we can't think his thoughts. But in order to do that, we have to really work on renewing our minds, because everything in the world system around us fights against that, tries to keep us from thinking the thoughts of God or having the heart of God about whatever we face or whatever we're dealing with. But God's word is really clear, and when his Holy Spirit brings revelation of his word on the inside of you, something happens on the inside that actually kicks your faith in gear, and you can begin to take a hold of the blessing of God and begin to bring heaven to earth, so to speak, in terms of the will of God happening in your life in a powerful and awesome way. So, John 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. And then Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's so important that those words that Jesus speaks to us through the written word and by the Holy Spirit, that those things come alive in us in true revelation of the plan and the purpose and the will of God. That's why in the previous verse in John 15, verse 8, it talks about bearing fruit and being his disciples, because the revelation of the word on the inside of you will produce fruit. You can't make fruit grow on a fruit tree, and the fruit tree doesn't strain to make fruit. It's just a natural outgrowth of being a fruit tree. An orange tree bears oranges. A pear tree bears pears. A Christian bears the fruit of the Spirit, and they're all named in the book of Galatians. I think it's in, what is it, chapter 5? You can find them all. You can find all the fruit of the Spirit that you should be bearing in your life, and you can enhance it by feeding yourself on the Word of God. Because the Word to you is life. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that he speaks to you are spirit, and they are life. So it's important that, in that sense, that you hear the spoken word of God from Jesus inside of you. So sometimes, we read the word of God and we want to apply it to our lives, but it seems like a million miles away from us because we're so not there. But when we get into the word and begin to meditate on the word and begin to take the word inside and begin to realize, Jesus went through a lot and paid such a high price so that we could have this precious seed of the word, so that we could actually receive inside of us an impartation, a revelation from the Holy Spirit that is actually life-changing and situation-altering, that makes all of the difference in the world. Sometimes we just kind of take it for granted. We have a Bible. We have them all over the house. you have available on the web, on the internet, so many ways that you can take in the Word of God that we don't even think about the privilege it is to have a Bible, to have the Word of God, to have the written Word so that we can get the Rhema Word, the revelation kind of Word for us. Praise the Lord. So, if that Word is life to you, if it's spirit and life to you, that means that it comes alive inside of you. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that greater one that lives within you becomes the revelation of the Word of God to you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, we've used this scripture oftentimes when we talk to people about salvation. It says, but what does it say? The Word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So it's so important to let that word that's near you come out of your heart and get in your mouth and move in a powerful way for you. That it creates, that it brings the creativity of God to life in your being, on the inside of you, where healing is really hatched. Healing is primarily spiritual to start with, and then it comes into the natural because your faith begins to take it and pull it out of the supernatural arena of God's spirit and put it into the area of faith that takes a hold of the Word of God and brings blessing to you. So, that scripture, thank you. So that scripture says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we understand from that how salvation works and how salvation operates. But anything that you need or want from God operates in the same way. Whether it's healing or whether it's finances or any of those other kinds of things. If you believe in your heart and confess the Lordship of Jesus with your mouth, that seals the salvation within you. But the same principle works for healing, for deliverance, for any kind of blessing or any kind of thing that you need. Has to be generated first from your heart, and then you speak out the faith that you have on the inside of you and begin to confess what the Word of God says about you. That's why oftentimes we just say, you know, if sickness hits you or weakness or any kind of illness, you have to deal with it. You can't just say, well, maybe it'll go. You have to deal with it and confront it with the Word of God. And the Word of God that's alive in you is really your only weapon that you have. When Jesus was tempted of the devil in the book of Matthew, it says, you know, the devil tempted him three times. How did he answer the devil? He answered him with the Word of God. He came back to him with the Word of God. He defeated every temptation that he had. The same principle works against sickness, because when you confront sickness with the Word of God, it's as if Jesus was speaking to your sickness, because you're speaking out what he's placed in your heart to fight back of this attack of the enemy against you. So that's why it works. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you could say that concerning your healing, for with the heart one believes unto healing, and with the mouth confession is made unto healing. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. That part of that scripture is really important because so many times our minds think, well, what if it doesn't work? And people around you will begin to instill fear into you and say, you better go to the doctor, or you better go to the hospital, or you better do this, or you better do that. It might be wisdom to do some of those things, and God's not going to be mad at you for checking something out with a doctor, or for getting a second opinion, or a third opinion, or a fifth opinion. But he still wants you to walk by faith and not by sight, and to put your trust in him, because ultimately the doctor could help you, but Jesus is still the healer. He's the one who paid the price on the cross. The Bible says he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was placed on him, and with his stripes you were healed. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You could say it, his word is like medicine to you. It's like medicine to your flesh. And so when you feed yourself on the Word of God, you're reinforcing all the things that Jesus did at the cross for you. And you're firmly taking hold of them inside of you so that you can use it as an arsenal of weapons against the enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The one who wants to destroy you with sickness, disease, weakness, or infirmity of any kind. And then it exhorts you to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it says that the source of life is on the inside of you, and out of that source of life, your healing, your wellness, your peace, your joy in the Holy Spirit, your strength, everything that you need to go forward is inside of you. But so often, you know, because we live in a world of five physical senses, we just depend on those things we can see, taste, feel, touch, all of those things that are external seem more real to us than the things that are spiritual, the things that proceed from the heart and the mouth and the life of God that's within us. But that's why he says, keep your heart with all diligence. So if he says that, you know, sometimes we just want God to do it for us. You know, just keep my heart for me, you know, and then I don't have to do anything. You lazy thing, you know, you may be in a sense deserve what you got if that's how you believe, but that's not how we should live our lives, because we need to be concerned about our lives lining up with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or flesh minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you have a choice. You can live a carnal life, or you can live a spiritual life. It's your choice. Nobody's going to make you do one or the other. I know oftentimes we can go back and forth between one and the other, just because of pressure, because of situations, circumstances, the enemy lying to us, friends around us, the associations that we make, the fellowships that we have with people, the people at work, the pressures that we have at home, or relationships, or other things. They push us one way or the other, but it's usually not towards God. And that's why he says that if we live just according to the flesh and the externals, it's because we set our minds on the things of the flesh. And that fight for victory has to come through a renewed mind, and that's why the scripture from Proverbs exhorting us to keep the word of God in front of us at all times, to pay attention to the word, to listen to the word, to not let them depart from our eyes. In other words, to not let the word be ripped away from us by circumstances or situations or troubles or trials or situations like that. We need to keep that word first and foremost in our heart and to guard it so that we can live a life according to the Spirit and keep our minds on the thoughts of the Spirit, so that we're not carnally minded towards death, but that we're spiritually minded towards life and peace. Praise the Lord. So if we want victory in our lives, we can pursue victory. And the way we pursue victory is to pursue Jesus and to pursue his place in our life so that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind and take a hold of the things that belong to us that God's word has promised to us. So I'd leave you today with a scripture to meditate on, which goes back to the first two questions that I asked you about your goals. You know, would you rather get sick and get healed every time, or would you rather live in divine health and never get sick? This scripture from Exodus chapter 23, I think will help you. It says, "So shall you serve the Lord your God." This is Exodus 23:25. "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." That's God's promise to you. That's a covenant promise that he made to Israel, of course, after they came out of the land of Egypt. But by virtue of us having a new covenant and a better covenant, this scripture belongs to us as well. All he's asking us to do is to serve him, to set our hearts on him, to love him, to have him first and foremost in our life. It's like what Jesus said about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, "Then all the other things will be added to you." So if you serve the Lord your God in that way, he will bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you. So you can have the second option of live in divine health and never get sick if you choose that path, if you choose that way. Does that mean that you won't ever be attacked or won't ever be, like happened to Trish, they have some symptoms come on you? Of course not. We have an enemy out there, and he's going to try everything he can to get us off of the Word of God, to get us off the promise of God, and to make this scripture be a lie. But he can't make it be a lie, because God is not a man that he should lie. And he's not a person that's going to repent of what he said. He's made the promise, and what the promise that he's made, he will keep. That he will bless your bread, and he will bless your water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you. So let's close with prayer then this morning. If you're watching us online and you have some kind of sickness and you've been struggling with something, we want to pray with you and agree together with you for your healing that belongs to you to come to you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just rebuke every kind of sickness, every kind of weakness, every kind of infirmity that the enemy has tried to place on any that are watching or any that are here in this place. We thank you, Father, for victory over sickness, sin, and death by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, today, that through your word and by your spirit, you will make this word come alive on the inside of us. That the victory that Jesus bought for us at the cross will be a reality in our life, Father God. Not a dream that cannot come true, but a reality that kicks in every day, Lord. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where there's sickness and disease and poverty and all kinds of other things. But your words, Father, they're life to us and they're health to our flesh. And we thank you for sending Jesus to the cross in our place to suffer everything that we should have suffered so that we could live in freedom and so that we could know you to be the only true God through Jesus Christ, the one you sent. And thank you, Jesus, for reconciling us to the Father and for giving us a ministry of reconciliation so that we can bring others to you. And we just ask you, Father God, that in our lifespan here on this earth, in this time, in this span of time that you've given us to walk the face of the earth, that you will empower and anoint us, Father, to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will enable and empower us to do the things that he promised we would do. And Jesus, we thank you that you empowered us by saying, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. And we ask you, Father, that we not only see the works of Jesus operate in our lives as we minister to others, but Father God, that the greater works will come forth just like Jesus promised that they would. And we're thankful and grateful for the example of all of those that are written about in Scripture when the Word says that when they were scattered, they went everywhere and preached the Word, and you confirmed the Word with signs accompanying them. So, Lord, we're looking forward as we launch the Healing Center, Lord, that we are able to take the healing power to our generation, Lord, that those who are sick that will come, Father, those who will avail themselves of your word, Father, that they will be healed, that they will receive their healing, and that the weapons of their warfare will be mighty through you, God, to demolish strongholds. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we dismiss you from online. We thank you for joining us today. God bless you. We have a special healing meeting tonight. You're welcome to come at 6 p.m. tonight at my Father's house, 5712 Bass Road here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Just come and get it. Come and receive in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.